So what you have on your sheets before you is a very, very beautiful meditation that recognizes a number of realities about us, people, about the way we're built. And this is to do with both sound and also our hands and fingers and how our brains work. So beginning with, beginning with sound. Let's begin with sound. We have, in the roof of our mouths, we have 84 reflex points, or points of meridian ending. That means that the roof of our mouth connects us to virtually every part of our bodies. It's why, when we chant, we have extraordinary reactions to the sounds. First of all, the sounds are radiating through the body as a consequence of those meridian connections. Also, those sounds are being amplified by the structure of the head. We've got the bony skull, and that acts as a nice dish to roll the sound around. The sound is also rolling, of course, in the cavities in the throat. So that's one reason why sound is so significant to us, because of those meridian points in the roof of the mouth. Also, just above the roof of the mouth is a very, very important gland to us, the pituitary gland. And that gland is the master gland of the whole endocrine system. And that system is extraordinarily important to us. That's the immune system, that's metabolism, that's our ability to sleep, it's our ability to react to stressful situations, the fight flight. It is also our sexual response. So we have so many important systems that link into the endocrine that are monitored by the pituitary. The pituitary, which is located just above the roof of the mouth, and when we chant, that gland is stimulated. So think of it. It's stimulating the immune system. It's stimulating the metabolism, the sexual system. All of these things are happening, and this is why when we meditate and when we chant, we turn the body into this extraordinary bath of hormones and neurochemicals that are moving through the body to calm the body down, to take it into a place of rest, so that we can be in as beautiful a place as possible for healing. And that is why, too, meditation so often leads to healing for people. So, very often what you will find is that chants, that our primal sound chants, are our mantras, are also healing mantras. And they have been created to move into and answer certain things that are happening in the body. Now, the primal sounds that you have in this mantra tonight are extraordinarily powerful. We have five primal sounds. So it's S, T, N, M. If you close your eyes a moment and move through those sounds, S, T, N, M. Do you sense, and do it again if you wish, do you sense that the energy is moving down, the body starting high and moving? Can you sense that? Wonderful. We then combine those consonants, those primal sounds, with the sound ah. So we get sa, ta, na, ma. Now ah is another primal sound, and it comes from om. Om is in fact a coalition of three sounds. So it's ah, o, m, three sounds. In certain disciplines, the Hindu discipline, for instance, that trinity is a holy one, those sounds, and represents the whole life cycle. So creation and preservation, essentially, of all things of life, and then destruction. And it's not the kind of destruction that we think of. It's the destroying of bad habits. It's not knocking down buildings. It's the kind of destruction that is, in fact, leading back to creation. Okay? So the ah itself is also a primal sound. So we have this extraordinary power of sa, ta, na, ma, which, when we are chanting it, descends down from the head to the thymus area here. The thymus is the master gland of the immune system. So you may be able to understand now that doing this chant is extraordinarily powerful. Okay? Now the next part of interest here is that as we are doing these sounds, we're going to combine it with, sounds are mantras, yes? We're going to combine it with mudras. Does everyone know what a mudra is?
No.
Mudra is fingers and hand positions. Fingers and hand positions. And maybe even moving the fingers in a certain way. Those are mudras. And we in the West tend to think that, oh, this is probably a little bit of decoration. You know, this is probably not all that important. Once again, not true. Not true. It has taken, the yogis thousands of years ago seemed to realize that there was some kind of connection between the hands, the fingers, and the brain, and how the brain worked, how plastic it was, that is to say, how it could regenerate itself, how it could adapt to new things. And it seemed to them that doing hand and finger poses and exercises, it improved brain activity. And it's taken, indeed, it's taken thousands of years to, in fact, prove that they're absolutely right. So in recent neurological tests and trials, what they have discovered by monitoring people with MRIs is that people who, at the beginning of a protocol or a test, if they do certain finger exercises and their brain activity is mapped, then they continue to do those exercises through, say, a 2-3 week period, and their brain activity is mapped at the end of that period, what they discover is that the brain activity has been amplified substantially. So what they have proved is that the yogis from thousands of years ago were absolutely right, that doing hand and finger exercises not only grows the brain, expands the brain, but also develops new neural pathways. So more neural connections, and it actually creates neural pathways. This is astonishing. It has extraordinary implications for any kind of injury to the brain, extraordinary implications for a disease that is beginning to devil us today, which is Alzheimer's, and then for diseases that gradually overcome the mind, like MS and Parkinson's disease. So things can be done. Things can be done to grow the brain and bring it back from apparent states of injury and trauma. If these things are not irreversible, and in fact perhaps don't even require surgery or maybe even damaging regimens of drugs. So why then? All right, let's extend it. Why would fingers and hand exercises have this kind of impact on the brain? Does anybody want to take a flying leap at that?
Nerves?
Yes. That's
all your nerves are connected to your brain.
To your brain, absolutely
so
true.
You feel the heat on the finger.
Right.
It's the nerve which is telling your brain that, oh, this is wrong.
Absolutely, you've got it. Thank you very much. So at the center of the brain is the motor cortex, And has everyone heard of something called the homunculus? It's a way of, it's a homunculus is the little man. The little man in the center of our head. And it's a graphic representation of the motor cortex and its relative reflection of our bodies and importance that the brain attaches to things. So for instance, the homunculus has an incredibly large head and huge hands, whereas the rest of the body is really quite small. Now the indication there is that there are far more neural connections for the head, the face, and the hands than there are for the balance of the body. The reason for this is once again reflecting the plasticity of the brain. The brain has responded to what we need in our evolution. And what we need our faces to define ourselves. We need our tongue to speak our way through, to make certain that other people understand exactly what we're about, and we can communicate. Communication is extraordinarily important. And also our hands are very important, they're critical. So the hands are wired directly into the brain. So here's a little test for yourself. The hands, the fingers, have, as I was saying, far more neural connections than the rest of the body. Having said that, the thumbs themselves have more neural connections than all the rest of the fingers. So the thumbs, our thumbs, opposable thumbs, are the smartest things about us, about our hands. The least educated is our little finger. So I'm about to prove that to you. Try and touch your palms with your thumbs and not move your other fingers. Don't move the other fingers. You can do it, can't you? Okay, so what we're going to demonstrate is the number of neural connections that we've got and how they diminish. So try and touch the second finger to the palm of the hand and not move the other fingers. How are you doing on that one? Not quite as well. Try and touch the middle finger to the palm of the hands and don't move the other fingers. And here we keep going. And the ring finger, try and touch the ring finger to the palm of the hands. Don't move the other fingers. And now the least educated, the little guy, try and touch that and don't move anymore. Okay, so it's a little, that's right up there with wiggling your ears, isn't it? Yeah. So what that's showing to us is a dramatic demonstration of neural connections. Lots, not as many, but here, lots more than in the rest of my body, because the hands are so incredibly important to us. Okay? And that's why, when we do meditations, or we do techniques, mudras, that involve using the fingers, it stimulates the brain. It increases neural connections. It actually forges neural pathways. In other words, if you do mudras with your meditations, you're going to be smarter. You're going to also be more coordinated because we're working on the corpus, the center of the brain, which controls our movements. And so you'll be more coordinated as a consequence. You'll find, too, that you'll just be thinking more fluidly. You'll be more alert, all because of this simple finger exercise. Okay? All right, so having gone through that then, let's talk about this primal sound meditation. What we're going to be doing is, if you can comfortably do this, we're going to go into what I call an easy pose, and that is sitting like this. And if that's not available for everyone, can you see me okay? If that's not available for everyone, then sitting with legs in front, okay, will also do.
Is this okay?
Good.
I got it.
Not to work. Okay. So now we've got the pose. All right. The focus of this meditation, I'm going to give you a choice, because one will be available, I think, instantly. The other is perhaps a little bit more of a challenge. So the focus is the third eye, and the third eye in the center of the forehead, not between the eyes, but the center of the forehead. This is the lower third eye. This is the high one. Okay? So focus is the center of the forehead. And that's good. That will work for you. Now, if we want to make it a little more challenging for ourselves, then we go to something called the L form of meditation, and that is we bring light in through the crown, we bounce it off the pineal, which is at the very center of the brain, and as soon as light hits the pineal, it refracts straight out, goes right out through the center of the forehead. So if you can see in your mind light coming like this and going straight out in an L, down and straight out, down into the very center of the brain where the pineal is, and then bouncing straight out through the third eye. If you can see that, if that's available to you, then do that in this meditation, okay? The mantra itself is sa, ta, na, ma, and because this is primal sound meditation, I'm looking for my pitch, pitch bite, there we go. For those of you who are musical and will want to do this meditation at home, you will be looking at the notes A, G, F, and G. A, G, F, and G. So. Fingers also, besides sound and being connected to the brain, because they've become so extraordinarily significant to Eastern disciplines, the fingers themselves have taken on an archetypal meaning. So the thumb is associated with divine consciousness. The thumb is divine consciousness. Okay? The second finger is associated with ego and the subconscious. The third finger, each of these fingers too has names from the zodiac, which you might find interesting in the future. The third finger is associated with energy and strength. The fourth finger, which is really the third finger on one's hand, is associated with the solar plexus, the third chakra. And this is the chakra of personal power, as indeed that finger is associated with that too. And the small finger is the finger of intellect and worldly involvement. Now, when you combine those fingers with the thumb, you get very, very old classic mudras, okay? So this is the Gayan Mudra. Index finger to thumb, the Gayan Mudra. Does anyone know what the Gayan Mudra means? Divine consciousness with ego gives us wisdom, okay? All right. The thumb, divine consciousness with health and strength. This is the Shuni Mudra, and unlike, you know what that, unlike that particular gesture, this is in fact patience. patients. So you see how contemporary lifestyles have become impatient and distorted things. The ring finger, which is our power, all right, personal power, combined with the thumb, gives us the Soraya mantra, and that is the mantra of energy and health. And then finally, when we combine the baby finger, the little finger, with divine consciousness, we get the Bodhi mudra, and that is the mudra of clear, intuitive communication. Okay? So what we're going to do now is combine those mudras with primal sound. So, sa, ta, na, na, and then back again.
Sa, ta, na, ma, sa, ta, na.
Finished loading information onto you. All right, now we are going to move through different voices, the different voices that we have, and we're going to introduce these exercises, the mudras, and the sound into the body at different levels. So we'll begin with a normal voice. And the normal voice I like to think of as this is the voice of action. So we've been talking, we've been doing the mantra in that normal voice. Next, what we will do is go to a whisper. And you might look on that as the voice of the lover, okay? Or the voice of the mind. And then thirdly, what we'll do is we'll go inside, deep inside, we'll be chanting silently, and that's the voice of spirit, or the voice of the divine. Then we'll reverse it and come back out again, whisper, and normal voice. So if you are doing this at home, what you're looking to do is to balance the sounds going in and coming out. So I've given you an example of 2 minutes at normal voice, 2 minutes at soft, at whisper. When we're doing the divine voice, which is so important to us, 4 minutes, then coming out, 2 minutes whisper, and 2 minutes normal. If you want to do this at home and increase the sound, use that same balance proportionately. Okay? So you might want to work up to 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. And that will come up to 30 minutes. Right. Okay. And I think that probably is it. Okay? So shall we? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Wendy. Shall we give it a go? Mm-hmm. Yes? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me go back to the pitch pipe again, because I tend to, my voice tends to drop. I know that from experience. And as soon as you get comfortable, you can close your eyes and relax, and I will worry about the timing. You don't need to worry, okay? So just to review, sa, ta, na, ma, sa is index finger, ta, middle finger, sa, na, thank you, ma. Okay? We are bringing, either we're concentrating on the focus point is the third eye, or the L form of meditation, bringing light in through the crown, bouncing off the pineal, and through, straight through the third eye. Either way, it's going to be the third eye. All right? Okay? Very good. We're starting with normal voice. And when I tell you, we'll be then going to a whisper. Then when I tell you next, we'll be going to silent chanting within. Then I'll tell you, we'll come back to whisper and then to normal voice. Is that clear? Wonderful. Okay. And here we go.
Sa ta na ma 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 sa ta na ma.
And now whisper. And now the divine voice chanting within, and keep doing the fingers. whisper, listen to me.
Sa, ta, na, na, sa, ta, na, na, sa, ta, na, na, sa.
And now up to a normal voice.
Sa, ta, na, ma, sa, ta, na, ma, sa.
Exhale completely and stretch your arms up above your heads. Spread your fingers, stretch the spine. Nice deep breath. And gently let the arms down. And sit with that for a few moments.